Amen. Thank you for that song. Let's take our Bibles this morning. Open the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. If you're joining us this morning, whether in person or live stream, this is your first service. We are going through the book of 2 Corinthians. And our theme this year is taken from 2 Corinthians as well. Our theme renewed. And so we're going verse by verse through the book of 2 Corinthians. And we're in chapter 9 this morning, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll begin reading from verse number 6 down to the end of the chapter. Last week, we were looking in verses 1 through 5 about having a zeal that inspires. God wants us to be zealous for the things of God, but also that would inspire others to be involved in the work of God as well. And so we looked at that last week in verses 1 through 5. And so this morning, we'll be in verse number 6. And we'll be looking from verse number 6 down to verse number 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 6 down to verse number 15. I'd like to encourage you to read along with me as I read the verses together. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be on the screen. But read along with me as we read verses 6 down to the end of the chapter. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministered bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men, and by their prayers for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. Thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your word this morning. Lord, we thank you that we have a copy of your word, that we can read it. And Lord, your desire is not that we just read it, but we would learn from it. Lord, we would learn of you, and we would draw closer to you. And so, Father, I pray this morning that, Lord, that you would just speak to our hearts, and Lord, through the power of your Holy Spirit, and through your word, that you would work in our hearts as only you can. Lord, I pray that if there might be someone today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, that you would help them to realize that there's only one way of salvation, and that's through Jesus Christ. And Lord, for Christians this morning, that you would work in our hearts, and Lord, just draw us closer to you. May we have a greater love for you. Lord, just as the different songs that we've sung this morning, Lord, help us to love you the way we ought to. Lord, you've been so good to us. And Lord, we're so undeserving of it. But Lord, may we love you more and more each day. And so just bless in the service now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we come to this passage of Scripture, when you think about what Paul is saying, can you imagine a farmer standing in his field, looking out over the acres and acres of field that he might have, and he has a bag of seed, and he looks at the soil, and he looks at the seed, and he sees this vast amount of space that he has, and he thinks to himself, you know, I can't afford to plant too much seed. I need to save some for myself. That farmer is going to have a very small harvest. But yet, if he was willing to plant generously, trusting that the harvest is going to come, he will reap abundantly. I drive by so many fields in our area here, and we see this the fields growing of corn and beans and things, and they're very green and very lush. You think someone had to think, you know, there's some land here, and you know, I could plant a little bit of it, or I could plant a lot of it. And this is what we would call the idea of sowing and reaping. But this morning, again, I don't want to focus so much on the idea of money, although, again, chapter 8 and chapter 9, Paul is dealing with this offering that they are taking for the Jerusalem believers. So Paul is talking about money, but I think we can broaden it and understand that this is more than just money, the idea of sowing and reaping. And so this morning, I want us to look at some principles of generosity. Some principles of generosity. Because if we plant generously, I think we understand that we're able to reap abundantly. And this is exactly the principle that Paul is giving us in this passage. Giving, if we can think about it, is not about what God wants from us. Sometimes we have this idea, God just, he's wanting something from us, right? And that's really not accurate. Giving is not about what God wants from us. It's about what God wants for us. It's really about what God has for us. You see, he wants us to experience the joy, the blessing, and the spiritual harvest that comes from generous giving and being generous, as we're going to see here in this passage. Again, the Corinthians were preparing to give. Remember, Paul had said a year ago, you had this great zeal. You were very zealous about taking this offering for these believers that were suffering. The church of Jerusalem was suffering. There was some famine that was taking place and some persecution. And so Paul had, or the Corinthian church had said, hey, we want to have a part in helping to give. And because of their zeal in wanting to help these believers, other churches, like the churches of Macedonia, had also wanted to have a part in it. And so Paul was encouraging them, hey, don't forget about this commitment that you made to these believers to give. And so as we see this, as Paul is writing, again, he's trying to encourage them with truths that apply for us even today. Because generosity is an opportunity. But here's the problem. We look at it as an obligation. We think of giving as an obligation, right? And really, God wants us to see it as an opportunity. Because when we give God's way, we experience his blessings, and we help to bring glory to his name when we do it God's way. Now, if it's just out of obligation and duty and things like that, we're not going to experience those things. We're not going to experience the joy in giving. We're not going to experience the blessing. We're not going to experience God's provision because we're not doing it the way God wants us to do it. And so Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers about this grace of giving. And again, we need God's grace in this area if we're going to do it God's way. And he explains that, again, giving is not just an obligation. It's an opportunity for blessing, both for the one who is giving and the one who's receiving and for the glory of God. So this morning, I want us to look at this passage this morning. We're going to look at some principles of generosity, right? Notice, first of all, we find the principle of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. Notice in verse number 6. He says, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. And he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. So God is comparing giving to sowing seed. And I think we all would be mostly familiar with this idea of sowing and reaping. Again, we live kind of in a rural area here, lots of farmland around. And we can kind of see, there's stages that the land around us kind of goes through, right? In the wintertime, kind of everything is kind of dead. And then springtime comes, and you see the farmers out there, and they're plowing the fields, they're disking it, getting ready to plant the harvest, or to plant the seed, anticipating that there's going to be a harvest time. And you see them out there getting everything ready, and then you see them put the seed in the ground. You see them out there, and they're putting all the seed in the ground. And the next day, what do you see? Nothing. You don't see anything. And then the next day, you drive by, and guess what you see? Nothing. And the next day, you drive by, and guess what you see? Nothing. Wait a minute, I thought they put something in the ground. Didn't they put those seeds in the ground? Of course they did. But we have to understand the law or the principle of sowing and reaping. Just because a farmer puts that seed into the ground doesn't mean the very next day they're going to have a corn stalk with corn on it. The very next day that bean isn't going to sprout and have that bean plant and the beans aren't. No. It takes time, right? And so understand, we have to understand this law or this principle of sowing and reaping. That the measure of what the harvest is going to be does depend on how much you sow. the measure of what you're anticipating in return is based upon what we put into the ground. A farmer who plants a few seeds cannot expect some giant, great harvest. And likewise, even in giving, the amount that we invest determines the return. How many of you, maybe you have a 401k, or maybe you put money into retirement and things like that, and you're putting that in because there's something you're planning for in the future, right? What is that word called? What is that word called that you're planning for in the future? I thought it was called work, but anyway, no. Really, I'm serious, because every person I've heard that's retired, this is what they say: I'm busier now than what I was when I was working. Have you not heard people say that? Right? How many of you are retired? You say that is absolutely true, right? See, it's not retirement, it's work, right? You're putting it in for more work down the line, right? I know, it's retirement, right? But we have something that we're planning for in the future, right? But when we invest, we understand that the more that we invest for that retirement in the future, we're expecting a greater return on that investment, right? If somebody puts $5 into investment and somebody puts $1,000 into an investment, we have to realize and understand the person that put $1,000 is probably going to get more of a return than somebody who just puts $5 in. Now, they're both going to bring a return, but one's going to bring a whole lot more because of what they put into it, right? Can I just say here this morning, many times the reason why we don't get much out of serving God is because we don't put much into serving God. We don't put much into it. And yet somehow we expect God to bless us. Hey, I showed up for church. Well, that's great that you showed up for church today. I'm very thankful for that. But what about tonight? Will you be at church tonight? What about tomorrow? Are you going to serve God tomorrow? What about Tuesday? You going to serve God on Tuesday? What about Wednesday? Will you serve God on Wednesday? How about Thursday? You going to serve God on Thursday? What about Friday? You see, we have this idea that somehow things of God comes down to one day a week, Sunday. And then we wonder why we don't get more out of the things of God. It's because we're not putting anything into it. But we have this idea, man, I'm just going to get this great harvest. I'm going to get this great reward. And yet we're not putting anything into it in the first place, or putting very little. Look, we understand if a farmer doesn't put much into the field, he's not going to get a great return. Friend, do you understand? It's the same way with the things of God. But yet somehow, when it comes to the things of God, we expect something different. We expect by being able to put, I'm just going to put the bare minimum, right? I'm just going to put as little as possible. I'm going to do as little as possible for God. I'm going to read the Bible as little as possible. I'm going to pray as little as possible. I'm going to go to church as little as possible. I'm going to do the bare minimum. I'm going to do as little as possible, but yet somehow expect some great results from God. Wait a minute, you forgot the principle of sowing and reaping. Look with me again at the verse. But he which soweth sparingly, read that with me, shall reap also sparingly. What did it say? He that soweth sparingly shall what? Come on, everybody together. Reap also sparingly. God says, look, you sow sparingly, you're going to reap sparingly. This is not just about finances. Finances is an aspect of it. But you sow anything sparingly, it's going to come back sparingly. But watch what he says next. But he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. You see, this principle is not just about money. This principle applies to every aspect of our life. It involves time. Time. You think about time and investing in others. You know, I'm thankful that we have Sunday school teachers, and I'm thankful that we have super church teachers and master club teachers and things like that, right? And we have young people that come, and they're here for maybe an hour or maybe on Sundays and maybe an hour on Wednesday night. But can I tell you, if you're just sowing sparingly into them, guess what you're going to reap? Sparingly, right? When you invest in someone very little, it's going to produce something very little. right? When you're discipling someone or you're trying to mentor someone, or maybe even at work, you're trying to help somebody, what you find is the more you spend time with that person, the more you invest in them, the more you train them, the more you're involved in what's going on in their life, guess what happens? You have a greater return in their life. Is it any wonder why we think of in our churches today, why are we losing our young people? Why are we losing children? Why are we losing teenagers? Why are we losing our young adults? Maybe it's because we haven't invested in them the way we should. Because when you sow sparingly, guess what happens? You reap sparingly. Are not our churches reaping sparingly? We're reaping sparingly. Why? Because we're not sowing. Oh, we're glad they're here for an hour on Sunday, but that's about it. We don't ever really take time to really invest in them. We're glad people are here for an hour, but we don't really take time to fellowship with them. We don't really take time to get to know them. What are we doing? We're reaping sparingly because we have sown sparingly. See, it's about time too. What about our energy? What about our work for God? Again, if we invest very little with our energy in the work of God and the things of God, we're gonna reap very little. We're gonna reap very little. You know, there's many different ways that obviously we can work for God. There's many opportunities that people have to serve here at First Baptist Church. And I'm so thankful for so many people that serve here. We just, a week ago, we had our Vacation Bible School and Teen Explosion. And just for VBS, we had 100 people volunteering and helping and giving. And we praise God for that. That's unusual to have that many people, okay? And I'm very thankful for that. But where are we serving? Where are we giving our time to God? Again, if giving our time is just an hour a week or 2 hours a week, but yet we're not really taking time to be in His Word. You know, we'll give God 5 minutes of reading the Bible a day. And then we wonder why we don't grow spiritually. We'll give God just a few minutes of prayer time. And we wonder why God doesn't answer our prayers. You see, it's not just about we get so focused on finance, money, money, money. Wait, God says, how about all these other things? How about time? How about your energy? How about taking the opportunities that you have and investing them for the things of God? Because here's what the scripture says. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Right? Now, why? Let me ask you this. Why do you invest so much time at work? You expect something in return, don't you? I guarantee you, if they didn't give you anything in return, you wouldn't show up tomorrow. Am I right? If they didn't give you anything in return, you're not showing up. You invest the time there because you're expecting to reap something in return. I wonder why we don't really spend energy. I wonder why we don't really work for the things of God. Is it because we don't think we're going to reap anything in return? Is it because we're really not thinking that it's worth it? Man, we'll spend hours at work because we're expecting something in return. We're expecting a paycheck. And yes, I understand that paycheck's going to help pay for the mortgage and pay for a car and pay for clothing and food and things like that. I get it. But we're expending our energy because we're expecting something in return. And yet when it comes to the things of God, no thank you. Oh, look, friend, you're going to get something in return, but it's going to be very little. God's not going to bless that. When we're just giving Him as little as possible, again, it says he that sows sparingly is going to reap sparingly. He which sows bountifully is going to reap bountifully. How about in our homes? How about in our homes? How about in our marriages? How about with our family, our children? Are we really investing in our marriages? Are you investing in your marriage? Are you trying to strengthen your marriage between your spouse? Doesn't matter if you're a husband, doesn't matter if you're a wife. What are you doing to invest in your marriage? What are you doing to put into it? Why? Because the more you put into it, guess what? The more you're going to get out of it. The little you put into it, guess what you get out of it? Little. Look, friend, this is not a foreign concept to us. Yet some of you are looking at me like this is the first time you've ever heard this said. You see, because we tie it to one aspect of our life. We think it's all about money. No. It's not just about money. It's about every aspect of our life. You know why many times marriages are falling apart? Because we're not investing in them the way God wants us to. We're not spending time in them the way God wants us to. Why are homes falling apart? Because we're not investing in our children the way God wants us to. We're not taking time with our children. We're not reading the Bible together as a family. We're not praying together as a family. We're not serving God together as a family. And guess what happens? You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You see, we understand the principle, we just don't think it applies to us. It just doesn't apply to me. No. This is exactly what he's saying. If you want a great harvest of blessing, don't sow sparingly. Give in a way that shows you trust God. Spend time investing in others. Put your energy into it, in your family, in your church, in all these different things. Generosity is planting seeds for eternity. That's what it really is. We're not just investing in today. You're not just investing in your marriage for today. You're investing in your marriage for 10 years down the road. You're not just investing in your children for today. You're investing in your children for 20 years down the road. You're not just investing in the things of God for today. You're investing in the things of God for eternity. And yet, we'll still just do the very least possible. The principle of sowing and reaping. And I say, notice the attitude of the giver. The attitude of the giver in verse number 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. You notice Paul addresses the heart behind the gift. Again, you can go to chapter 8, you can go to chapter 9, you can read all about this special offering that they were taking, and here's what you will never find. You'll never find the amount that was given. You're not going to find the amount that was given because it's not about the amount. It's about the heart behind the amount. What is the heart in this? You see, God cares about your heart more than he does the amount that is given. That he talks about the churches of Macedonia in the early part of chapter 8, how they were destitute, they were poor. I mean, they had nothing. They were being persecuted, and yet he says they gave much. Now, let's stop and think about it. Do you think the much, when he says much, do you think it's much in financial terms? I don't think so. I don't think it was financially they gave much. I think they probably had very little to give. Very little. But to them, it was much. It was much. Again, you remember the story of Jesus, and he talks about the woman that was giving at the treasury and how she gave in two mites, and yet all of these that had much, had great wealth, they came and they would give in. And Jesus says what? The woman that gave the two mites, which is just like a penny. The woman that gave a penny gave more than those that gave thousands. Was it about the amount? No, it wasn't about it was about the heart. It wasn't about the amount, it was about the heart. And this is what God is saying. It's from, God wants us to do it from the heart, not just a specific amount, but it's about the heart behind the amount. God doesn't want reluctant giving. In other words, giving that is to be grudged or forced because you feel pressured to do it. Giving should be purposeful. It's a decision from the heart. Notice he says, as he purposeth in his heart. There's a reason. Hey, God has spoke to my heart, and therefore I'm going to do this. Because God spoke to my heart about it. God wants me to do this. It's not under pressure, right? I'm not being pressured by someone to do this, not grudgingly or of necessity. But notice, for God loveth a cheerful giver. God loves when we give from a heart of joy and gratitude to God. Could you imagine? I don't know if my wife is in here. I don't think she is. Could you imagine if I came up to her on her birthday or our anniversary, and I have this present, and I bring it up to her, and I say, "Hey, babe, here's a present for you." Oh, why'd you? because I had to. I may be calling you to come and spend the night at your house. That's not going to go over well, is it? You say, well, I had to. No, that's not going to go over well. But you know what would go over well? Is if I give that to her and she says, why'd you get, you know, it's not even your birthday. It's not even your anniversary. You know what? I just love you so much. And I just wanted to get this for you just to show you how much that I love you, how much you mean to me. You know what? I think that might go over a little bit better than, well, I had to do it. Might go over a little bit better, don't you think? Right? Think about what he says. For God loveth a cheerful giver. If I just say, oh, I just got this for you because I had to, that's obligation. Right? I'm just doing it because I had to. That's not love. And God wants giving that overflows from love and gratitude for his blessings in our lives. Before we give, we ought to check our heart. Why am I doing this? Why am I wanting to invest in young people? Why am I wanting to serve God? Why am I wanting to take time in my marriage? Why am I wanting to do this with my children? Why am I wanting to do these things? What is the heart reason behind why I'm doing these things? Is it because I have to? Or is it because I love God? I love the Lord, and I want to invest in the things that are going to last. I want to invest for eternity. I'm not just investing today. Remember that farmer, he puts that seed in the ground. He doesn't expect something to come up that day. He doesn't expect it to come up tomorrow or the next day or the next day or the next day or the next day. He understands it's going to take time for that to come to harvest. And guess what? He's willing to wait. He's willing to wait. That's what God wants for us. We're investing, and we have to understand, hey, sometimes that investment may not come back right away, but we're investing for the future. We're investing for eternity. We got to check our heart. Do we give with joy and love? Do we get it out of worship to God, or do we just give out of guilt and pressure? By the way, can I ask, why did you sing the songs this morning that we sung? Well, that's what we were singing, so I had to. Or did you actually think about the words we were singing? Think about the songs that were being sung. The last song that we sung, I love you, Lord. Did you even think about the words you were singing? I was standing over there as we were singing the song, and I thought, God, I don't deserve your love. I've messed up way too many times to deserve God's love. And he still loves me. It's not just words. God wants us to, it needs to come from the heart. Sometimes we can come to church and we can just, it's all out of routine. It's all out of duty. It's all out of just, here, I just have to do it because it's obligation. No, no, that's not what he wants. It's not what he desires. It ought to come from our heart. Why do we do what we do? Is there that true love for God? That true generosity is going to flow from a love for our Lord. Can I say this? If you have to brag about how generous you are, then you're not doing it for the right reasons. We aren't doing it because we have to or even because we need to. We are to be generous because we love God. And we ought to give happily. What's the attitude behind it? May I say number three, notice the provision of God. Look in verse number 8. In verse number 8, he says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God. You notice what it said there? God is able to make all grace abound toward you. And here's why. That ye may abound to every good work. Look what he says. God is able to make all grace abound towards you. And then he says that ye all have all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You see, there's a reason why God wants to bless us. There's a reason why God wants to work through us. There's a reason why God wants to work for us. It's not just so that we can accumulate more. It's not just so we can have everything. No, he says so that you can abound to every good work, so that there's something that you can do for the Lord Jesus Christ. When we give generously, may I say that you won't lack your needs, because you cannot outgive God. You cannot outgive God. When you give out of a heart of love, and when you invest in other people and things like that, and you're doing it out of a heart of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot outgive God. It is absolutely impossible. Notice what we find here. He says, as it is written. So he's actually referring back to what has been said before. He hath dispersed abroad. He, that's God. He hath given to the poor. He, that's God. His righteousness remaineth forever. Watch what he says in verse 10. Now, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Here's what God says. When we do what God says out of a heart of love, not just with finances, but with our time, with our energy and the finances and everything. When we do it out of a heart of love for God, God says he will meet your needs. That's what he says. All sufficiency. That back in verse number 8, that ye always having all sufficiency. Now, please understand, there's a difference between sufficiency and wanting. There's no verse in the Bible that says God shall supply all your wants. It's not there. But it does say God shall supply all your need. But understand and remember who that verse is being written to. That verse is being written to these believers who are sacrificing out of a heart of love to give to help those in need. That's what they were doing. They were sacrificing. They saw a need and they wanted to be generous. And even though they didn't have much, they said, we're going to help these believers. And even when Paul said, no, you can't do this. You need this more than they do. They said, no, we're going to give to help. We want to be generous. We love the things that God has done for us. If it wasn't for the gospel, we wouldn't be saved. And we want to help somebody else. And he says, as Paul writes to those believers in Philippians chapter 4, my God shall supply all your need. You notice here, when we give the way God says to, again, just follow the pattern, sow sparingly, reap sparingly. Sow abundantly, reap abundantly. You give with the right heart, God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things. God said, I will make sure to take care of you. You understand, friend? You have God's word on it. God says he is going to take care of you. Not only will there be sufficiency, but there will even be an abundance. You'll have enough to keep giving. Watch what he says in verse number 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Notice what he says here. There's a multifaceted of what he's saying here in verse number 10. He says he is ministering the seed to the sower. So in other words, there's seed that's going to be sown. But at the same time, there's also bread that is going to be eaten today. So there's a seed that is going to be sown for the future. There's bread that's going to be taken care of today. And multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. So here's what God says. When you do what I say, when I say it out of a heart of love, he said, I'll make sure and I take care of you today, and I'll make sure tomorrow and the next day and on down the road. He said, I'll do exactly what I need to do to make sure you're taken care of. When you do it the way God says to do it. And we wonder, why isn't God taking care of me today? Well, because you're sowing sparingly. Now, again, friend, please understand, I'm not just talking about finances here. You're like, well, you know, pastor must know I don't give very much in the offering. First of all, I don't know how much anybody gives in the offering. None of my business. I don't know what anybody in this church gives other than myself, period. I don't know. So don't be like, well, pastor knows I don't give. No, it's not. You see, you're going back to a specific thing. You're going back to finances. It's about your heart. It's about every aspect of your life, not just finances. It's about your home. It's about your family. It's about your job. It's about every aspect of your life. This is what God is saying. This is what he's trying to show to us. It's not just about the financial aspect. Yeah, that's a part of it. Oh, but there's so much more, friend. And God says when we do it the way God says, he will supply. You'll have enough to keep giving. He says, may abound to every good work. Again, may I say, if you think about what he says here in verse number 10, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown. So God is going to make sure we're taken care of today. He's also going to give us the seed to invest. And he's also going to make sure that that seed that is being invested is going to come back multiple times over. You see what God says he's going to do? It's not you doing this. God says he's going to do it. He's the one that's going to do it. So that we, watch this, so that we can continue doing what he wants us to do. It's like God saying, hey, I'm going to give this to you so that you can give to somebody else, and I'm going to give this to you so that you can give to somebody else, and I'm going to give this to you so you can give to somebody else, and God just keeps doing that. As long as we keep giving, as long as we keep investing, as long as we keep doing what God wants to do, he said, I'll keep supplying your need, and I'll keep making sure that not only do you have food for today, and not only is there investment for tomorrow, but there's also going to be a multiplied investment down the road. But here's what happens. When we stop giving, when we stop investing, we stop receiving. You understand, friend? If you don't plant a seed, nothing is going to return. And too many Christians have stopped investing and giving the way God wants them to give. And what's happened? They've stopped receiving from God. There's no blessing anymore. And we look at our life and we think, man, what's going on? Why is this happening to me at work? And why is this happening in my family? Why is this happening to my finances? Why is this happening to this? You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow nothing, you reap nothing. But if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. We hear it, but do we really grasp it? Do we really understand it? Because we hear it, and again, what I'm saying to you this morning is probably not new. You've probably heard this said many, many times, and yet we still continue doing the same thing over and over and over and over again. And we sit back and wonder, why doesn't God bless? Why isn't God taking care of me? Why aren't my needs being taken care of? Because we're not willing to trust God. You see, giving is an act of faith. Investing is an act of faith that says, God, I trust you. I trust you more than my bank account. I trust you more than what's going to happen down the road. I trust you more than what's happening in our world today. God, I'm going to simply trust you and do exactly what you want me to do. And God says, I will provide. He says in verse number 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness. Notice, he says in verse number 8, there is sufficiency. In verse number 11, he talks about bountifulness. I mean, friend, can I ask you, do you really think if you give for God, whether it's your time, whether it's your energy, whether it's your family, whether it's your money, do you really think God is going to sit back there and be like, I'm just not going to help him. I'm just not going to help them. Nope, not going to do it. No, God is saying, you have my word on this. When you do it God's way, God says, I'll make sure you're taken care of. Now, please do not misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm not saying you're going to be rich, right? There's this prosperity gospel out there. You know, hey, give God $5 and he's going to give you $5,000. That's not what we're talking about here. But God does say, I will take care of you and I will provide and I will even give you more so that you can do more for me if we're willing to trust him. If we have the right heart about it. Because notice the last thing that we find here. Notice the praise that results in this. Verse number 12. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. while the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ and for your liberal distribution unto them and to all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. You notice what he says here? When we do it the way God says to do it, when we invest and we give the way God says to do it, he says two things happen. Needs are met. There's practical help for others. Just like he said, hey, you're helping to meet their need, right? But notice the multiplied thanksgivings that is going on here. Notice the multiplied, the glory that it gives to God over and over and over again. He said, man, they are thanking God. The ones who received it, they're thanking God for the ones who sent it and how God worked in their hearts. And the one who sent it are thanking God that they had an opportunity to be a part of it. And they're all thanking God, saying, God, it all goes back to you. It's all because of you, God. It's all because of what you have done in our life. You see, people will glorify God when there is generosity in our lives. The saints in Jerusalem would praise God because of the generosity of the Corinthians. The Corinthians were praising God because of what God was doing in the lives of those in Jerusalem. You see, you understand that giving is love in action. Giving is love in action. And Paul ends with this. He says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Friend, if you're here today and you don't know what his unspeakable gift is, let me just explain it to you very quickly. The Bible tells us that every single person is a sinner. Every person is a sinner. Every person, because of their sin, deserves to die and go to hell. That is the payment for sin. God says the wages of sin is death. There is a separation from God for eternity in a place called the lake of fire. And God says every person that is a sinner deserves to die and go to the lake of fire because of our sin. But here's the amazing thing about it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. God saw us in our lost, sinful state, saw that we were bound on our way to the lake of fire, and God says, I love them, and I don't want them to be lost. I don't want them to spend eternity in the lake of fire, but there's nothing they can do to save themselves. They cannot save themselves. And so God says, I will send my Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sin. And Jesus Christ was willing to come to this earth to be robed in flesh, to bleed and die on a cross. Friend, not for his sin, he had no sin, but for your sin and for my sin. And he says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God has an amazing gift for us. It's called the gift of eternal life. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Not one of us deserve salvation. Not one of us deserve heaven. And yet God says, I'm willing to offer you a gift. And that is the gift of my Son, Jesus Christ. And if you'll receive him, you can have eternal life. Oh, friend, this gift is not by being a member of a church. It's not by being baptized or trying to be a good person or keep the Ten Commandments. No, no. This gift is only through Jesus Christ and him alone. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, can I tell you this morning, friend, he offers that gift to you. That unspeakable gift, that gift that we can't even fathom, we can't even understand why God would love us so much that he would send his Son to die for us. But he did. And he wants you to be saved. And he offers that gift to you. And if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, in just a moment, we're going to have an invitation and we're going to invite you to come and we can take the Word of God and show you how you can receive that gift. Friend, if you're a Christian here this morning, Paul says, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. Where would you be without that gift today, friend? Christian, think about it. Where would you be without ever receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior? Can we not say like Paul, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift? But wait a minute, hold on. Do we really mean it? Do we really mean it? Because if we mean it, we'll do what he says. You know how I know that? Because he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. If we truly love the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll do what he says. If we really love God, we'll have no problem being generous. We'll have no problem investing in others, giving of our time, giving of our energy, giving our finances, not for us, but for the things of God. Why? Because we sow sparingly, we reap sparingly. We sow bountifully, we reap bountifully. But here's the thing, friend. Choice is yours. It's your choice. God's not going to force you one way or the other. He wants you to do it from a heart of love. You say, well, how much is bountiful? It's not about an amount. It's about the heart. It's about your heart. Are you willing to just simply say, God, it's yours. Whatever you want, it's yours. God will show you what it is. It could be two mites. Maybe all that it is. And God says, that's enough. I'll take it. Because it's from your heart. It's not a specific amount. It's from your heart. Are we going to sow bountifully? And we're going to invest in the future, invest in eternity, and invest in things to come for the things of God? Or are we just going to keep it all for ourselves? You know, there's these things called reservoirs. They take in water and they just keep water. And they keep it and they keep it and they keep it and they keep it and they keep it. You know, God said, that's not what a Christian ought to be. We're not supposed to be a reservoir. We're supposed to be a channel. We're to take what God gives to us and use it to help other people. We're to use it, whether it's our time, whether it's our energy, whether it's our talents, whether it's serving him, whether it's our finances, whatever it is. We're receiving it from God to invest in others and invest in him and the things of God. Or have we shut it up and said, no, we're just going to keep it all for ourselves? When we stop giving and we stop investing, don't be surprised when we stop receiving from God. You sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. You sow sparingly, you reap sparingly. You sow nothing, you reap nothing. Father, I pray you'd help us, Lord. Lord, to truly grasp the principles that you've given us in your word of generosity. Lord, again, not just dealing with finances, but Lord, in every aspect of our life. About sowing and investing into eternity. Lord, when we do that, you will bless. We'll be able to reap your blessings. Lord, help us to examine our hearts this morning and see, what are we doing for you? Are we truly sowing bountifully for the things of God? Are we sowing sparingly? Or are we not even sowing at all? Lord, I pray you'd help us to have a heart of love, that we would sow bountifully, not so that we can reap bountifully, Lord, but as we sow bountifully, it comes back bountifully, and then you give us more to use for the things of God. Lord, so often we've just become a reservoir. We've just shut it all up. It's all for me, my finances, my time, my energy, my family, my work. No, it's all about me. Lord, we've truly lost what our purpose is. So, Father, I pray you'd help us this morning just to look to you. I wonder, with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, no one looking about this morning. Friend, maybe you're here and you say, Pastor Andrew, I'm not sure if I've ever received that gift that you talked about. And you're here this morning and you say, I would like to know how I could receive that gift of eternal life. I've gone to church and, you know, I've tried to be a good person, but I've never received that gift of eternal life. Nobody else is looking around. you'd be honest. You say, Pastor, that's me. I'm not sure if I've ever received that. And I would like to know how I could receive that gift of eternal life. Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down? Just raise it up with me and put it right back down. Nobody else is looking around. Pastor, would you pray for me? I'm not sure if I've ever received that gift. Friend, if that's true, if that's you this morning, in just a moment when the invitation begins to play and the piano is going to play in just a moment, if you'd like to know how you could receive that gift of eternal life, I'll meet you right down in front, or I'll meet you in the back in the lobby. But I'd love to talk with you or have someone else talk with you about how you could receive that gift of eternal life. Christian, if you're here this morning, say, yes, Pastor, I know I've accepted Christ as my Savior. Are we being generous? Are we following the principles of generosity? Not just with finances, although that's included, but what about in our homes, in our marriage, in our work, in our church? Are we investing? Are we sowing bountifully so that we can reap bountifully? Or are we just giving God the bare minimum? Just sowing sparingly. Friend, you'll reap sparingly. And if you're sowing nothing at all, you'll reap nothing at all. Why not this morning, why don't we just say, God, I want to invest for you. I want to invest for the things of God. I want to sow and invest for eternity. Lord, help us in this. Let's all stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. No one looking about this morning. The piano is just going to begin playing softly. Maybe this morning God has spoken to your heart. Maybe this morning you need to come and pray. Maybe right there at your seat. Say, God, I haven't been really doing this right. I've been investing for me, but I haven't been investing for you. It's been all about me. I haven't really been investing in the things of God. Haven't really been investing in my family, my marriage, my children. Haven't been investing in my work. It's all been about me. Maybe this morning God's speaking to your heart. He said, hey, maybe it's time to change. Maybe it's time to change. And start investing for the things of God. Investing for eternity. How's your heart in this? Are you willing to surrender it to God and say, God, it's all yours. It's all yours.